And we are live. What is up, everybody? This is Nick from P2W Fantasy here on Thursday with one of my best friends, if not my best friend in the space here, Kevin, who I've done a ton of stuff with. If you don't know Kevin, you probably should. Kevin does a ton of stuff for the community. This guy works his ass off on a daily basis. He's involved with Fantasy Pros. He's on the Debbie Royale show. He's also involved with another good friend, Jacob Dunn. They have a show together, Super Fantasy Football Bros, Super FF Bros on the Triple Play Network. He does a ton of football, Devy, basketball, literally everything. And again, he's a guy I talk to on a daily basis. So I'm always appreciative of you coming on the show, Kevin. Can you, of course, let everybody know where we can find you for one? And just anything you want to plug about what you are working on currently, because I know even after this show, you're about to be right back at it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. As always, you know, anytime we can step together, it's been like a year since we did our first one. So it's crazy how this stuff had happened. You can follow me at DuBois_22 on Twitter. You can find my work at Fantasy Pros. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff at Triple Play Fantasy Network on the YouTube channel. I do a lot of work there, graphics, those type of things. And we're pushing 500 subs here pretty soon. So if you could go on that channel, we have baseball, basketball, foodies. We got, you know, David Mendelsohn trying to eat donuts. We got all kinds of different things there, different entertainment stuff. And, you know, just you can find us there. I do have a bone to pick with you, though. You did that little chirpy thing and I am on the outside. So I don't know what's going on about this circle of life, but I was not on the inner circle. So I don't know what's going on there.
I had many questions when I saw that. I was a bit confused and I started to backtrack and think about who have I talked to recently? Who have I liked stuff of? And I think I got to sort that out. I actually might call a rep because I think something might be off with that. They have to check the DMs too. That might hurt some people, but for me, I'll be all right. I'll have my good friends. So that is funny. So if you guys are tuning in, Kevin and I always ask like once every 2 weeks because it's that time of year. Everybody talks about the same sort of stuff. It's all camp talk right now. We're getting closer to the season. It's exciting. But what I like to do is have mailbag questions because it has people from the community just shooting different questions about various topics. I think it keeps the show fresh. I think there's always some interesting questions on there to knock out. And it always makes for a fun time to talk about. So if you are tuning in, that's what we got going on today. As always, this show is a member and affiliated with the Fantasy Points Media Group. Definitely check out fantasypoints.com/subscribe. You can use my promo code 21win10 for a discount. And again, that's my one-stop shop for everything, preparing for podcasts, arguing with my brother Anthony, looking up something quick for my fantasy league, whatever the case is, I go to fantasypoints.com and I highly recommend it. So, Kevin, before we talk about anything mailbag related, I have a quick question because I've seen this all over the space recently with the injuries, the big injuries. You know, camp, there's going to be injuries on a daily basis. I mean, us as former athletes, we'd go through our preseason and guys would get banged up all the time. And sometimes it's important. Sometimes the next day the guy's fine. But two big ones, as we know, Cam Akers and Michael Thomas. Cam Akers obviously out for the entire season. Michael Thomas, it's a question mark, but it seems like he's going to miss a chunk of games. A lot of people have been asking, like, what do I do in Dynasty with these guys if they roster them? And for you, is there maybe a quick piece of advice of what you would do for either one of these guys, both of these guys? Maybe it's different. What's your view on both of Cam Akers and Michael Thomas for Dynasty?
Yeah, for me, for Cam, you know, if I could get a first for Cam, I might do it just because of that Achilles and where he's at. I don't know a lot of first out there. You might have to give something up and asset with them, but I'm okay with getting a first. And that's kind of how that would work for me. But at the same time, you know, if I'm going to try to buy Cam Akers, if I'm looking, maybe I'm doing that. I did tweet this out recently that I would wait until about week 11, 12, 13, when those teams that maybe had Cam all of a sudden in that position, because you know how it is, you pick up a James Robinson, you get these guys where you're contending, and maybe they see Cam Akers as kind of being a declining asset, and you could get him in like a throw-in deal. Like if you're probably rebuilding, maybe you can grab Cam for cheaper. Just, hey, throw in Cam Akers, and they'll do it. So for me, Cam is a hold if you have him, unless you can get a first. And he's actually, I think, a buy if you wait in the middle of the season and get there. Michael Thomas is a bad one. If I have both of these guys personally, so this one hurts. But I think Michael Thomas for me is a hold and hope that he comes back after that bye week, which is I think week 6. So 7, 8, 9, maybe has a good game and he can kind of put those numbers up. And then depending on where your team is at, you try to sell because he's such a declining asset now. You really can't. You're not going to be able to move him for what you probably picked him 2 years ago as a first round pick. You're not going to get that back. So you're looking at a second plus an asset. I'm going to hold and hope maybe a contending team needs a receiver. You get a first for him in like that week 9 to 10, 11 range.
I like both sides of it. Obviously, if you are trading four, I think that's a good piece of advice. You know, everything's so focused on what do I do to get this one guy all the time? When in reality, if you're maybe dealing back and forth and you're pretty close and you can add one of these guys from the buying end, that'd be a nice deal. And then on the selling end or holding end, I like those points too, especially with Cam. You know, a lot of people have been throwing out like terrible offers and saying, you know, I just bought him for like 2/4 in a second or like weird things like that. And I think at this time, you know, you're not going to get a major return. So if later down the road, you know, he is that guy that beats the Achilles injury and he ends up being a good asset, you probably look back and say, man, I freaked out. And you don't want to freak out too much in Dynasty because you're not going to, there's no rush right now, in my opinion, for a guy like Cam Akers, no rush to make a deal. So good points there. Again, if you are tuning in, appreciate it. We are going to answer some mailbag questions from the community in a second here. To win, no fear to give. I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip. They don't understand. I play to win. Yeah, I play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win. I play to win. Oh, play to win. I play to win. Yeah, yeah, I play to win. I play to win. And had a funny comment here, mailbag question. Why is Nick wearing sleeves? Well, I'm repping my Southside socks, and I got a shout out, Kevin. He's rocking one of the OG P2W shirts, old school. That's how you know how far we go back, over a year ago. That's how far. So if you guys are tuning in, thank you guys. We're going to get right into it because you got a handful of questions and I want to make sure Kevin's got another show coming up, big show with Triple Play. So I want to give them some time to get to that too, but let's kick it off with our first question. Oh, thought it would pop in the screen. Maybe not. Let's see if we can. Maybe not. The questions I'm just going to have to read off for now. So the question comes from David Mendelson. So D. Mendy, one of our good friends. And the basis of this question was asking, who is the second Texans pass catcher if you had to put your money on one guy to be the number two for this coming season? So obviously this past season, Brandon Cooks, 119 targets. He was a leader in the target category, especially with Will Fuller missing some time, not due to injury, but being suspended. So that was kind of ironic in itself. But Will Fuller had 75, and then the rest of the targets look like Jordan Akins, then Randall Cobb, David Johnson, Kiki Kuti. That's the next. We look at the ESPN depth chart, Kevin. Right now they show David Johnson is the starting running back, Brandon Cooks, rookie Nico Collins, and Anthony Miller is the wide receivers, and then Jordan Akins is tight end. That's just what ESPN shows right now. Curious to hear if you had to pick it, Brandon Cooks is number one for the target share. Who's number two on the depth chart here?
Yeah. Well, no one that I want, but if I had to pick like, hey, who am I going to grab and who I like, I know people like Nico Collins, but I'm not ready to get on that train, especially with a rookie in that offense with what they have. I know you know a lot about Anthony Miller, and I'm not going down that train too. So I'm going a little out of there. I love Kiki Kuti. Like, I love this kid. You know, when you watched him play in college at Texas Tech, you know, people forget in Texas Tech his last year, he had 93 receptions, 1,400 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Like, he was legit. It just feels like they keep throwing guys in front of him and they don't believe in him. But I really feel like if he got that ability to get those targets, like last year he had 40 targets, 33 catches on those with 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. You can't tell me that couldn't be a serviceable wide receiver two on your depth chart. I don't know if it's going to matter, to be honest, with who they're going to have throwing the ball, if it's Davis Mills, Tyrod Taylor, those type of things. But I'm going to take a shot on Kiki because I think he's the cheapest, and I'll grab him, and maybe he's a waiver wire ads and redraft dynasty stash. Maybe you could probably pick him up on waivers too. But if I had to take a shot based on price, it's Kuti.
I like the point about the price, because I think that's important at times when we're weighing out, like, who should I target in my draft and where can I get a guy? Kuti, he's got a nice opportunity now that Randall Cobb is going back with Aaron Rodgers to Green Bay. So that opens up, I think, the slot for him. Nico Collins, I think, is interesting. And, you know, it's easy to have the rookie fever and to overproject these guys. But he's a big boy, 6'4", 215. Very different from this wide receiver class in terms of his physical makeup. The speed and the size, his hands are pretty good. But he's got a lot to learn in terms of the, you know, separation and the route running. He's got to refine a lot of those things. But I think he can beat out Chris Conley on the depth chart. And I think he would be interesting. He's also pretty cheap. Way down the ADP list. And if he emerges, he might be one of those guys that emerges after some time of getting acquainted into the NFL system. And if they don't have a top tier quarterback, I think that it might take even longer just because he's going to have to deal with maybe some bad throws and some off throws here and there. So he's another guy, I think, to look out for. Some of the comments said David Johnson. Do you think David Johnson is going to have a good target volume in this offense? I saw two comments under the question. It's funny because not to rip on anybody. This is not like ripping on anybody. I love when people answer, but people ask and sometimes people chime in and give their answers. And I like it because it starts to make you think sometimes, but does that make you think or not?
Nah? Dude, I've been out on David Johnson for like 3 years. He's not coming back in my life. He is out of my life forever. I just don't. Maybe, but can he stay healthy? Will they be able to target him? Yeah, I guess they could. But, I mean, he hasn't shown consistently his ability to stay healthy. He doesn't look like the same guy. You know, to me, honestly, I'd be more worried about Philip Lindsay. I love Philip Lindsay. That's my dude. And I feel like he's a better pass catcher in the backfield. He can kind of represent. He's going to have that burst. So that would be kind of a guy that I would actually like more in that area. But, no, I'm out, David Johnson. You cannot do anything to me to draft David Johnson again on one of my teams.
Kevin's like the smart person in, you know, bad relationships. Too many people go back to what was bad, and Kevin's like, nah, I'm out. I'm moving forward. So that's interesting too. I think that's a good strategy for Dynasty sometimes, looking at people you've been burned on. I think that might be a question in here too, but
it's later. It's later. Wife advice.
we'll have to get into that. All right. So next one comes from Disc Dad. So at Disc Golfer 17, he asks, is it ever okay to go no QB in a startup Superflex Dynasty League? He says, PPR, I'm at the 12th spot. Keep finding myself going away from the QB. Thanks. So I pulled up. We got a question. Who let Kevin on in here? This guy, D-Mendy, he just missed his own question.
Of course.
We discarded it, though. We said next on that. But no. So I looked at a recent startup. I was in a startup with a bunch of dudes from Twitter, John McLinn, Amar Gabar, Shotgun Fantasy, Connor Allen, Kyle Allen, Steven Roto on Steven Johnson on Twitter, a bunch of guys. We had a nice startup. It got too crazy, but it was a good draft to look back on. So I looked at some quarterbacks later. So I'm assuming when he says no QB, it's almost like no RB, those people that wait later and later and later in their startup draft. So here's some data for some of the later rounds. So ninth in our startup Superflex League that we just did, Mac Jones and Derek Carr went. In the 10th, Kevin's guy, Jared Goff went. The 11th, Jameis Winston. 12th, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Drew Locke. And then 13th or later, you had Big Ben, Taysom Hill, Jimmy G, and Cam Newton. So that's just an idea of some guys that went later if you are going no QB or you're waiting on the QB. Kevin, do you recommend this strategy? Is this something you would do, or are you against this for super flexes, probably dynasties?
Yeah. So I normally wouldn't be, except for like that 12 spot is actually kind of like it's like a dead man's land of quarterbacks. Cause there's a really weird tier break, when you're looking at the startup positions. And I think that's where I would say it's okay in this instance, cause you could probably build, it just depends on how you draft. So if you're looking at like, should I draft Russell Wilson or am I going to reach? I feel like Russell Wilson at that point is where he's going. He's going as ADP's 12 right now in Dynasty startups, according to DLF. That's pretty close. Like, I don't know if I want to take a shot at Russell. That feels like that's a declining quarterback. So you could grab, I know I grabbed Swift in a startup way earlier than what he's going now. But this was like in March. I had the 12th and I think I got him and AJ Brown. And then I waited, and I think that is okay as long as you build around your roster and how you feel. But those quarterbacks that you mentioned, I think you want to try to get somebody maybe Baker. You could probably try to get Baker in that weird range of, hey, can maybe I grab Baker Mayfield as my QB1 and then get Derek Carr as your QB2. I think those two guys are serviceable quarterbacks, and depending on where it's at. Now, if it's a 6-point touchdown league for passing, I might want to lean a little quarterback action earlier. But if it's 4 points, I'll take Baker, and I'll take Derek Carr as serviceable quarterbacks. Dynasty, you know how dynasty quarterbacks fall. I think next year we're going to see that same thing, like in rookie drafts. So I don't mind it. I don't hate the strategy. It's just you need to make sure your settings. If it's 6-point, I'm going to probably grab a quarterback. If it's not, then I'll maybe maneuver around and build my roster a little bit different.
I like the point about the settings, always something to keep in mind. I'm kind of a mix of this. I think that, you know, you don't have to get Mahomes or Josh Allen, but I think you got to get somebody maybe in like the third, right? And then you can wait later and start grabbing a bunch, because during that time, guys who stacked up on the quarterbacks in a startup might not be worried about that. They think after they have their three solid QBs, they're all good. So if you grab, you know, a guy you're comfortable with and then some later round guys and fill the rest of your team, it's not a bad strategy. It all comes down to, at the end of the day, though, how the board goes, because I've said this so many times, everybody wants to go in with a strong strategy, but everything blows up as soon as that clock starts for a startup, and no startups are the same. So, I kind of get that too, but it comes down to, you know, how comfortable later will you be? I mean, if you're two starters are going to be Drew Lock and Cam Newton in a dynasty. It might not be the best situation, but can you make moves later to acquire a guy who's got a fourth quarterback for one of your fourth best, you know, wide receivers or something like that? I mean, it just depends on the league, I guess, too. But that's an interesting question. That's a good one there. Next one, we're just rolling through these. I like a lot of these, so I want to make sure we hit them. My buddy Shotgun Fantasy, shout out to Colin. He actually just asked me like 2 weeks ago to stand up in his wedding. So this is one of my dudes. But Shotgun Fantasy, Colin asks, dynasty trade question. If you consider yourself a contender, would you rather have DJ Moore or Kittle? Assuming you're confident in your wide receiver room. So I looked at this one, dynasty trade. So this past season, 27 wide receivers scored 200 PPR fantasy points or more. There was only two tight ends that did, so Kelce and Waller. So you had 27 that scored 200 points, and then you had two. So my thing is, I love DJ Moore. I always have. Even if he, you know, doesn't live up to the hype sometimes, I got a signed helmet. I got a jersey that is now the wrong number for DJ Moore. But I think there are so many guys that can be DJ Moore. DJ Moore can be the wide receiver 12 or the wide receiver 30 if he's fully healthy for a full season. George Kittle, I think his range is like 2 to 5, no matter what, unless he's, you know, injured. So I'm going to go with the strategy of having the edge on the position over the league and taking one of the top three guys, and just because of that point separation for the depth of the position. So tight end position, not super deep as far as how many points you can get on a weekly basis. Wide receiver is like infinitely deep, it seems at times. So I'm going to go with Kittle on this. Curious to hear about your strategy there, Kevin.
Yeah, to me, this is an easy decision because of the position disparity between tight ends and wide receivers. And it's got to be Kittle. But when you look at what Kittle, then now, to be devil's advocate a little bit, Kittle hasn't scored more than 5 touchdowns in a season. He hasn't stayed healthy the last 2 years. So there is a little bit of a risk. But I think you and me both know that you can use wide receivers and stream wide receivers and find wide receiver out there. Like, that's kind of easy. They pop up. You can even get a kid like Terrace Marshall, who I love, who's killing it right now at camp, who I've been on. He was my wide receiver 3 coming out. Like, that's a kid that maybe he actually can give you a little bit better games than his own teammate, right? And one more. Kittle, you're not going to find that with tight ends. After the first 3 to 4 tight ends, it's depth. And it's just kind of like, hey, who am I going to grab? Who am I going to stream? So I think Kittle gives you that positional advantage, because if he's healthy, there's no one in this league besides maybe 2 other tight ends, and you could argue one that's better than him. So give me Kittle just based on that and based on value, based on all those things. And if you absolutely had to get a wide receiver, you could probably use Kittle and trade targets rather than DJ Moore. So give me Kittle just because there's more things I can do with him and to make my team better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're on the complete same page there. I mean, if you're juggling the two guys, maybe in some world where you have, you know, you did that weird Kelce or, you know, and Kittle or Waller and Kittle stack, and then you can think about some extra things there. But if it's just straight up and assuming things, I think we're on the same page. All right, here's that question. I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, and I'm going to have to come clean about this. I think I already have before, but Joshua Cho, so at JB Cho Knows, great guy there. Who is someone you believe in with, or you believed in with all of your heart, that betrayed you with bad play and production? And he has the broken heart symbol. So my guy, I'm going to come clean right now. My guy was a guy that he didn't have necessarily poor play, because in his rookie season this past year, he only had 96 total snaps. He was buried on the depth chart. But this guy, I was like arguing with some people, and I was like, he's better than Rojo. He's going to be the next James White. But it was Keyshawn Vaughn. I was like all in before the season, before Fournette came, because all I pictured was, hey, this guy in college, you know, he was good with the yards after the catch. He made people miss at times. I think he can come in and have some nice volume, because I was picturing James White. James White was just stuck in my head. Now he's buried behind not only Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, but then they added Gio Bernard to the team. So Keyshawn Vaughn is a guy that comes to mind, just because I spent some, you know, rookie draft capital on and startups. I took him a little early and it kind of bit me in the ass a little bit. So that's the one that comes to mind for me. How about you, Kevin?
Well, I can't say Darnold, because I still believe in Darnold. Like, I'm still holding hope. So like what we talked about earlier about holding on, I'm still believing in Darnold. We had some hiccups. We're on a break, but we're back together now. The one that actually is the killer to me is Devin Singletary from the Bills. Like, I was a big fan of his coming out of college, and I have him in a lot. I'm ashamed to admit I have him in a lot of dynasty leagues, because I grabbed him a lot in some second rounds and the rookie drafts, those like that, because I really would believe he didn't look terrible his rookie season. He showed flashes. I know he finished, I think it was like running back 30-ish, 31 his first, but it looked like, hey, this is gonna be the guy. Then they used the draft capital on Moss, and then Singletary just disappeared last year. And even though Moss was hurt, we all know Allen's rushing upside, everything that he has, but he just hasn't been the same. He really has no scoring upside. He's not going to score touchdowns. They never throw him the ball, because Allen just pushes the field ball downfield, which is fine. Great for everybody that owns Allen, but I don't. I own damn Singletary. And it really hurt, because in a game that I needed to win last year, I don't know, I think it was against maybe this is the Patriots. I needed 0.5 PPR points. I needed one catch from Singletary in the second half of a game. He was wide open 20 times. They never threw it to him, and he actually lost me that. I lost by 0.5, and I ended up getting the third seed instead of the second seed, and I lost the first round of the playoffs. So thank you, Devin Singletary, for breaking my heart. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out.
This brings me back to, I think, 1 year that my brother started a league from guys in the area, and I like was making all these moves and trying to be, you know, a real contender that year. And I watched live on TV. I started Ian Thomas that week, because I think Greg Olsen got hurt. And I watched. I needed the same sort of thing. I think I needed like a point or something. And Cam Newton winds up and he throws the ball to Ian Thomas, who's like 15 yards away, just like wide open in the middle. And I literally watch Ian Thomas clap his hands and the ball drops. And I wasn't the same, to be honest, since then. So I've been dealing with that ever since. But to live watch somebody just like
break your heart.
Exactly. Broke my heart. I swear, I think it was like the first round of the playoffs, probably against somebody who was going to brag about it too the next day. So that was tough. Do you have any, going back to Singletary, do you have any hopes for him this year? Is he going to be like stepping up his game because of, you know, he saw what happened last year with Zach Moss taking all these splits with him and them drafting him and not being as involved as before? I mean, his first season, you saw some flashes, people will say, like, oh, flashes of Singletary. Do you have any hope this year, or are you completely out on this guy?
I'm pretty out, just because when you look at what the ball does there, and when you look at what the Buffalo Bills do, they have learned that they're just going to throw the ball. So the game script's really not going to be anything important, and they're not going to lend themselves to Singletary. Moss is going to score a lot of those rushing touchdowns, if we're being honest. I'm actually a little higher on Moss, not like the ball blasting people, but I do like Moss. Like, I do think that he has maybe some upside scoring. Like, he could maybe get those filler points in there, but I don't see the backfield in Buffalo being anything worthy of more than just streamer options when you have bye weeks. And then even that, like, who knows about what's going to happen next year for Dynasty. I know I saw someone say Nyheim Hines could be an option there next year. I think that would be a great fit. Get him out of like, JT shares, and then he'll be there. But I don't see it being I don't see him being anything more than a streamer.
Yeah, I think especially if – I mean, it's going to be dependent on your league too, because if you're not in the deepest of leagues, you might be more comfortable with a flex of a wide receiver with a higher ceiling that doesn't always perform as well, something like that. And Zach Moss, you know, I kind of favor him over Singletary, but I think that it's another just dart throw. Like, does he step up big for the Bills, or are they going to be the same pass-heavy offense with Josh Allen as their best running back? So it's an iffy situation. I was surprised they didn't make an off-season move, even though they had. Well, actually, they did. They brought on Matt Breida, who they may or may not have cut by now, but I'm not sure.
Well, the thing is, like, you got to, like, at a certain point, like, the Patriots backfield, the Texans backfield, the Bills backfield, even to an extent, the 49ers backfield, the Dolphins backfield. At some point, you got to draft some of these guys. Like, at some point, some of these guys got to be some type of fantasy relevant. So you're going to be taking a shot on some of these guys. I feel like Moss will score touchdowns. So I'm like, I'll take Moss.
Yeah, and usually somebody emerges at, you know, a 3 or 4 week span. Like you talked about some crowded back rooms from last year that we didn't really know what was going to happen. And, you know, Miles Gaskin emerges from an iffy situation. James Robinson obviously emerges from a weird situation. There was weeks for the 49ers where Jeff Wilson Jr. was like winning people matchups. So, it's not a bad idea to try to grab one of these guys and bank on them and maybe to stash them, but you kind of have to see what the touches, I think, look like at the end of the day. All right. So this one, maybe we'll talk a little bit longer on this one because everybody's got rookie fever, including myself. I got two guys on the wall behind me. For those of you that cannot see the screen, if you're listening later on iTunes, I have the Justin Fields and the Kyle Pitts jerseys behind me. I'm waiting for my Elijah Moore jersey. It's going to come in sometime from China, but I ordered it like 2 months ago and nobody's responding to me. So I think I might've got burned on that one. We'll see. This one comes from our buddy, Michael Bauer. So at Rewind CEO, he's the president of Twitter. One of his questions on here, rookies you are out on in 2021, any position. So maybe we can trade off here. I got a few guys that came to mind. I'll go first and then we'll go with you. Maybe we can comment on it if we agree with each other or not. But
okay.
It seems pretty obvious, but Kadarius Toney, you know, I know a lot of people ripped the Giants for taking him too early. I think Urban Meyer for the Jacksonville Jaguars kind of had some interest, and the Giants ended up biting and taking him. I actually like was on a show talking about guys that might go too early, and I thought that he was a prime example. But right now he's on the COVID list. I mean, so is Lamar Jackson. That doesn't end a guy's season or anything like that. But I read up on, you know, July 12th, there was a report from ESPN that says something along the lines of the Giants bringing him in slowly, which is not always like the best sign for a guy to be like slowly brought into the playbook. And I've heard some other rumblings about maybe his like commitment early on, things like that. But just looking at this team, you know, Kenny Galladay should be the alpha. I still like Sterling Shepard as a guy that can get some volume as well. Saquon's going to be back at some point, fully healthy at some point. I don't know when that's going to be, but he can pass catch obviously out of the backfield too. I just think Kadarius Toney, if I'm in a rookie draft, not a guy I'm reaching for. He's not, you know, a guy that I'm taking above Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, guys who got drafted later than him. But that's one of my outs on. Not sure if you are also out and if you got a guy to go there.
Yeah. So Toney, to me, I'm out. I don't actually, I think Tony's going to be one of those weird guys that like I actually like as a football player. And I think he's going to fit that role pretty well with what they do. I just don't see the fantasy upside. I think it's a really low ceiling. So I'm out too, just based on who's maybe going after him. Like I would take a shot on Rondale Moore. I would take a shot on Jacoby Myers. That could be a wide receiver one on the Patriots. And who knows what's going to happen there. You know, there's some guys that are going after that I'm not going to reach on them and not going to take those guys. In terms of that. So I agree with you there. I think it's weird because I do think he's going to be a good football player. I think he's going to have a role there. I love Kenny G though. Like you better smash Kenny G right now. This is my mandatory smash Kenny G at his ADP because he's going as wide receiver 23. Unless he gets hurt, I don't see him not being able to achieve that ADP. Like it is legitimate. I did a mock recently where I got Kenny G as my wide receiver 1 and Ayuk as my wide receiver 2. And like, I think it was the 6th, 7th.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day based on the value that I was able to get. One quarterback. So, yeah. Hey,
I'm in two.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was wide receiver, what, 9 2 years ago? Obviously different situation, but I think he's on the show sheet later, so we'll have to come back to him.
I don't read show sheets. My bad, listeners out there. I'm jumping the gun a little bit.
I just copy and paste them from Google, so it's we're on the same boat. So is there another guy that comes to mind you're not super into this year?
Yeah, Devonta Smith, man. Like, I'm not in. I'm just not, like, and it's based on ADP. Like, I want everybody out there to know it's just based on the guys going around him. So he's going as, you know, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros. I know some other people look at different stuff. In PPR, he's going around guys like, you know, Cortland Sutton. He's going around guys like T. Higgins. He's going around guys like Jerry Jeudy, for instance. Tyler Boyd, who's always gets slept on. You know, Brandon Cooks, who's going to be the wide receiver one on his team. Like, I understand that Devonta's probably going to be the wide receiver one on that team. I get it. But I don't like Jalen Hurts, and I don't think he's accurate, and I don't know what people are talking about being a top five quarterback. If Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback next year, I will shave my chest, and I'm Portuguese. I will do it because there's just no way it's happening. He's not accurate enough.
Not the beard.
Got to keep the beard. The chest. But, I mean, when you're looking at that, I just think it's too high. I like Devonta. I'm out on him in 2020. It just feels like a weird, you know, Jalen Reagor looks like he just didn't pass the conditioning test. So I get that the targets may be there. But again, now you're going to have to face the number one corner. You're going to get a lot of defensive schemes against you. He weighs 165 pounds. I'm out. I'm just out on ADP still. I'm just out on that whole scenario.
You're going to have Philly coming for the show now. I do want to say
that. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm just letting you know. I always have Philly coming after me.
Kevin's a guest today. I don't want to get canceled today. No, you bring up some concerns though for both guys, Hurts and Devonta Smith. And we've seen the camp videos, and everybody has a camp video right now for every guy. So it's an interesting space right now. I wrote down as a few other guys, and like, they're not like high end guys like Smith, but Pat Freiermuth, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
I'm not in on him this year just because I think Ebron's still going to be a good piece of that offense and still going to be involved. And he's probably going to have that like Cole Kmet to Jimmy Graham syndrome going on where maybe he's involved later on, you know, at the end of the season. Daz Newsome, a lot of people were talking about because Anthony Miller left. I don't think that they realize he broke his collarbone, so I don't even know when he's coming back to football, but that was another guy everybody's like, oh, you know, it's a good path for him, but I would be weary of when he's actually going to be back and healthy and actually learning the playbook because he's hurt right now. And then the other guy I wrote down was Tutu Atwell, just not super into him at all. Van Jefferson, I think his camp's going pretty decent. Not even a big Van Jefferson fan, but I just don't see this like massive fantasy value for Tutu. Is anybody else come to mind for you for another guy that you might be out on?
I mean, you named the consensus. I think, you know, Tutu, especially with Deshaun, I think Deshaun's going to play a little bit bigger role than what we all think, as long as he can stay healthy. His mom yelled at me last year and said he would, and he didn't. But, you know, just letting you know out there, Deshaun's mom. But besides that, you know those guys. For some reason, like, people I think are drafting, I like Michael Carter, but let's I think temper our expectations a little bit there. I've seen some people just bagging him up as running back one. Let's chill. Let's relax. He's a serviceable rookie on there. But besides that, you know, I don't mind those guys. I think questions to be concerned about maybe Rondale Moore. I think AJ Green's going to play a little bit more role in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Rondale going to have his, you know, end of rounds. They'll get him involved, but how high is his ceiling? I think these are all things that we need to have. I love him next year. But I think that when you look at what DeAndre Hopkins is, I mean, come on guys, like that's the reality there. And I think Chase Edmonds is going to have a good year. I'm actually kind of a Chase Edmonds guy. So there's more targets because they're going to have in the receiving game. So I'm a little hesitant with Rondale a little bit this year.
I think Rondale is going to be one of those guys that has like some super cool highlights because he gets like a ball thrown to him completely sideways and makes a big play or like does the jet sweep and has a big play on that too. But look at this guy. Nick looking at the sleeper notification. It's blowing up on my phone. These guys in this league that he's in making these trades. I'm like, damn, you know, like what is going on in this league? But I like those Rondale more, points. And I think that for a dynasty, we're talking about this year. So a dynasty, we're not saying like this guy's never going to be a thing. It just might not be right away, And there's two different ways of looking at guys like that. So good points at Rondale. Here's a good one here. As I'm laughing about something else, when or at what was the hardest you've ever laughed? That's from Fantasy Ladder at Fantasy Ladder. Kevin, you can go first. What's one moment? I mean, it was hard for me to be like this exact moment, you know, but I one came to mind for me. What about you? What's a big moment in your life that was like a huge laughing moment that stands out to you?
So this is a hard question, actually. This is probably the hardest question I've been asked on a stream in my entire year, because I was trying to think, like, when have I laughed? Everybody makes fun of me because I don't smile. But I would say, you know, to me, the situation at the time wasn't funny, but we had something happen to us back in the day when we went camping in high school. And then there's an event that happened. Let's just say one of my really good friends got beat up by his now ex-girlfriend over him not being very truthful. And at the time it was a very like traumatic thing, but then you know how it is when you get back with your buddies, like, and it was one of these things where we got back with our buddies for like, and I don't really see my high school buddies that much. I only contact like one of them or two of them, but we went back for something. I think a funeral or something happened, and we went out to this local bar, and I just remember us talking about that and we just lost it. Like, I'm even smiling right now because I could just picture what happened. It was one of the funniest moments of like our collective friendship throughout high school, of just him crying out for our help with his 5'2" girl just beating him up, and like just listening to it now, like, and he deserved everything. And when I say beating him up, he wasn't getting like assaulted. She was yelling at him and doing that. So don't cancel me. But it was one of the funniest that had to been like just hanging out with the boys, talking about it, and just our stupid moments that we had throughout our little, you know, we grew up in childhood together, just that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always, I used to be a guy that used to go out to a bar or whatever, and I would like instigate some stuff. Like, people would be arguing with one of my friends and I'd be like, man, this guy shouldn't have said that to you. I'd be that guy. So I kind of relate on the sense of like seeing somebody in a tough situation and you have to laugh because you've probably known that guy for forever, you know? So that's funny. That's funny. Mine was actually at my bachelor party weekend. So, but a bunch of us guys, so we go and have a big night the night before. Like, all the girls, all the wives, girlfriends were like texting us. They're out doing their own thing that night, but we started later, and they're all like texting us, like, where's the Snapchats? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, all this stuff. I had my buddy Collins in the group chat here. So we end up going out, going crazy. Half the guys like are dead on the bus. Like, people are getting kicked out, like crazy stuff like that. So this carries into the next day. A couple of us go to the city, down to Wrigleyville. We want to go have some beers, watch, you know, some of the Cubs game, I guess. I'm not a big Cubs guy. Just at one of the bars, hang out, and then we're going to meet up with the girls. So we get out of like an Uber, like four grown men. And this is Chicago, so you see this stuff all the time. But we're all hungover in this giant, I swear to God, pigeon out of nowhere, just like planted on like a post, and comes down and scoops like right over our heads. And it felt like it was slow motion because you had a bunch of guys in their 20s just screaming and waving their arms like, oh my God, just like leaning over. Guys are like freaking out for a pigeon in Chicago. So every time, like, it might not even sound that funny, but every time I picture like my grown ass friends like waving arms and like screaming because of a pigeon, it like literally makes me cry every time. So that was a good question. That was a good question, but
that was, it made me laugh. It brought back memories.
I think for both of us, seeing our friends like in a weird situation just made both Kevin and I laugh. So we have that in common. Back to some football stuff. So we have at Triple Play Fantasy. I think, you know, these guys, they asked, it's probably Eric, what player do you have the most shares of? So this one for me is pretty quick. I'm going to say two guys. One guy was a rookie last year. One guy is a rookie this year. So the one from last year, and I know you're a fan of this guy, but DeAndre Swift, I pound the table for him all the time. Is it because I have so many shares? Maybe, or maybe I'm just like so eyeing him. So DeAndre Swift is a guy I have in almost every league, not the league I'm in with you, which makes it tough to sleep at night, but it is what it is. But DeAndre Swift is a guy I have almost every single league. And another guy who some recent Cam news came out that maybe not with the first, but we saw that last year with Justin Jefferson. He also didn't start with the first team. But Elijah Moore is a guy I'm super high on this year, and I think can really emerge even on the Jets. So he's another guy picked up in almost every single rookie draft, and both a guy from last year and this year for me. I guess the what I've been getting after is guys that I like believe in as rookies. I try to get them all in the rookie draft because, you know, in startups it gets tough. But if I have those rookie drafts in a dynasty league, I try to get the same guy who I actually buy into. So both of those guys last year, this year, guys I've just bought into and have some belief in for dynasty. What about yourself, Kevin? Who comes to mind for most rostered player or players?
Yeah, so I have two and a half, but I'll be quick on the half one. So my first one's Dak. I have Dak Prescott everywhere, and this is why last year was a struggle for me in a lot of my dynasty leagues. So I'm in 15 dynasty leagues, which you don't need to tell my wife about, and I have Dak in 12 of them. I counted today. So Dak Prescott is in 12 of my dynasty, my Superflex league. So I have him everywhere. I love him to death. I'm as a Cowboy fan, yes, but I know he's a great fantasy asset, and that's why when I hear shoulder news, I get a little nervous right now. But I have Dak because I think he can finish as a top three quarterback, and I won a lot of leagues 2 years ago with him and Russell Wilson as my quarterbacks. And so I do have a lot of Russell, but I've been trading him off this year. I have CD everywhere too, and I know I'm not a homer. I'm not. I love CD. CD was my wide receiver one going into the draft. He just got drafted by my Cowboys, which was the greatest moment of my life besides my kids being born. And probably my wedding. But that one moment was amazing to me. He's a great wide receiver. You saw his talent, what he's been able to do. You see the splits. He's going to get the targets. He's going to get everything there. And then I also have Paris Campbell. I have Paris Campbell in a lot of best ball, but I also have Paris Campbell in a lot of my rosters because I thought he was very cheap last year. He's even cheaper this year.
Oh, yeah.
I still believe in his talent. He just got to stay healthy. And if he can, he's going to bolster a lot of my leagues, especially leagues that I have some wide receiver depth issues. Like, he could legitimately be wide receiver three, and that's great for where he's going right now.
I think so too. And people kind of forget sometimes what, you know, the qualities they like of a player when they don't see them in action. You know, what have you done for me recently? Bias sometimes comes into play, but good points there. And he's a guy that still can go on sleeper lists and could be a big impact on this team this year.
I did make a joke that Paris Campbell is going to be on everybody's sleeper list for the next 10 years on Twitter, but it is true. But if he can do it, but like we said, if he doesn't do it this year, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Yeah, I'm not. Life advice: get out when you can. Like, I'm out on Paris Campbell.
Okay. All right. So maybe not so much then, even though you do have him. I got two this or that. So I'm going to read them both together, and you just give me which guy you'd prefer. So at U Stadium Fantasy asks, Eckler or Aaron Jones, half point PPR. And then the other one comes from our guy, Laquan Jones at Real Deal Fantasy, Galladay or Lockett. So I'll answer both, and we'll see if you align or disagree or are close to me on these. So if it was full point PPR, I might go Eckler just because of the target share he actually had with Justin Herbert. But because it's half, I think that Eckler might have maybe 20 more receptions or more. We'll see than Aaron Jones. But Aaron Jones is still going to catch the ball at a decent rate, I think. But I think he's going to probably have more rushing yards and more attempts and more touchdowns than Eckler. So I lean Aaron Jones for the half point PPR over Eckler. For Galladay or Lockett, PPR, we know the stat has been thrown around, but 46% of Lockett's fantasy points came in three games last year. I don't think he's an absolute dud, but you have so many bad weeks, and I don't want to bank on like a massive game all the time from Lockett. And we talked about Galladay briefly, but a true alpha, a guy that's going to be a red zone threat. We've seen him be a huge scoring threat in the past with the Lions. I think that year, 2 years ago, he led the league in receiving touchdowns. Big body guy that's going to get guaranteed volume. And I think he's the one, whereas Lockett is not the one anymore. So I'm going to go Kenny Galladay on this. But Kevin, you got to agree, disagree, somewhere in the middle. Who's your guys for these two, this or that's?
Yeah, so when you look at what Eckler can do, like, I like Eckler. I like that. So to be devil's advocate on the Eckler point, like, when you look at him, the offensive line has improved. They spent draft capital on offensive line. It looks there. I think they are going to – I think, you know, Herbert had a ton of – I think it was 595 attempts last year, something crazy like that. Like, that's a lot of passes thrown. I think they do lean on Eckler a little bit more this year. And when you're looking at the numbers, I don't hate it. I just think I worry about the touchdowns the most, especially in half PBR. Like, Eckler 2 years ago, even though he had a great year in 2019, he scored three touchdowns. Last year, he had one, obviously, because he was injured. And then Aaron Jones had nine. Like, to me, it's like, hey, you know, like you mentioned about the pass catching, but it comes down to touchdowns and half PBR to me. And I think Aaron Jones is going to get the more carries in the red zone. He's going to get that ability to just kind of score. I think Larry Roundtree is going to play a role. I know A.J. Dillon's there, but I'm not afraid of A.J. Dillon. I think Jones is going to be the guy either. This year. He'll be there. He'll be fine. And to your point, you know, I wrote a whole article on Fantasy Pros about Golladay, so I got to go with Golladay. But the thing with Lockett, he has been inconsistent. I do have him on those teams, and he'll have those games where he does blow up, and it's nice. But the other seven games where you're sitting there and he's getting 7 points for you, even in PPR, you're like, hey, what is happening right now? I do think they want to lean on Carson a little bit more. And the news reports out of Seattle is Rashad Penny is healthy. Well, he's supposed to be healthy. So if he's healthy and you get these guys and you get these volume, where's the targets going to be? They're going to go to DK because that dude's he's a man. Like, he's going to be the leading target getter there. So I just think give me Golladay in that offense. I think he can, especially if Barkley – I think they're going to limit the first few games, four games, five games. We can consistently see Golladay getting more targets in that area as well. If Barkley's not as healthy as we'd like to see, I just don't think I don't see the scenario where it's going to be Lockett.
All right. I want to get through two more quick ones. I think we got like 5 minutes here. So at Herms NFL asks, who is your favorite QB sleeper this year? We love the word sleeper in the fantasy community. I know, Kevin, for me, this guy is a guy we've agreed on before. I wasn't going to come on here and talk about Jared Goff. I was just trying to, you know, make some incentives to come on the show. But I know you've talked about him plenty. You actually wrote a huge piece on this guy with some great information. But I think Sam Darnold at QB29 for ADP from Fantasy Pros is a true sleeper. I really do. I think that just having Christian McCaffrey on your team and having the ability in traffic or when you're in trouble or just design schemes to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey is massive. I think that's going to help him and take a lot of weight off of his shoulders. We also seen last year, Teddy Bridgewater, not super sexy of a quarterback, but this guy had good games at times because he had DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. And then you take out Curtis Samuel, you throw in Terrace Marshall, who's going to probably have a decent target share, you know, take from what Curtis Samuel actually had. So I think the fact that Sam Darnold is under probably the best coaching staff he's ever had is under or on a team that has Christian McCaffrey to dump balls off to and also has DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and a rookie that could emerge. I think he's just in a good situation. He can have that like Ryan Tannehill effect. I've said this multiple times. We saw Ryan Tannehill kind of was iffy with the Dolphins. He switched scenes and then he went to the Titans and it was night and day and he was a better quarterback. He had a career adjustment. And I think this could be the case for Sam Darnold. I'm not going to say he's going to be the QB 1, 2, 3, whatever the case, but QB 29, I can see him being QB 18, QB 20, something like that. So that's my guy.
Yeah, no, you know, I love Darnold. I was going to pick Darnold because everybody says I pick Darnold everywhere. I think QB 20 was where I have him, though. Like, that's a very good base for him. And considering he's probably QB, you know, 3 on most rosters, depending on if it's super flex or not, obviously. Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say Tua. I am so sick of the Tua hate.
I like it. I love this.
I'm done with Tua. I'm done with the Tua hate with all you haters out there because this kid came off of a career-ending injury probably for most dudes. It was before, you know, common medicine and surgeries. He had a questionable year, brutal injury, didn't have weapons last year. Did you see the guys he was thrown to? Jakeem Grant. You know, Miles Gaskin was there great, but he got hurt too. Like, let's chill. Lynn Bowden was out there, guys. Like, let's be nice and let's realize that Tua, remember, Tank for Tua was a real thing 2 years ago. Like, he is an incredible talent. He's looked like he's beefed up a little bit. They said he put on some weight. It looks like his rehab has come along great. They have revamped weapons. I know that there's been some injuries at camp, but there's always injuries at camp. I'm not going to get upset about that. You know, I have Waddle there. You're going to have Hunter Long, who I really like. You have all these different guys that are going to be there to kind of help him get along. I'm all on the Tua train. Like, I'm banking on him. I think that he's going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I 100% agree. I made like a YouTube video recently and talked about guys that can smash their ADP. And I think Tua is 100% one of those guys. And people are so like iffy and out on him. But, you know, they didn't really let him go last year. And he had guys banged up in the system. You mentioned Jakeem Grant and the guys he was throwing to. Even Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki were guys that were kind of banged up at times at the end of the season. And they relied on that defense. And he's talented. And you got to be careful with camp videos all the time. But I think sometimes they actually paint a better picture of a guy. So we saw recently Tua just doing tons of movement drills, and he's like moving his, I mean, the speed of his feet moving, it looks good. He looks like he's extremely mobile for a guy that people were concerned about his hip injury and things like that. So I'm 100% with you on that. And I actually tried today to acquire for him, but I think I shot too much of a shot. But good point there. Last one, Kevin, and then we'll close it up because I know you got to get rolling here. But at Toronto FF8, Dave asked, what's the best life advice for somebody that might be struggling to grow up or to adult? And you know what? There's so many different aged people in the fantasy community. There's guys that are like Hutchison, like 15 years old, and there's guys that are in their late 50s. So there's a big gap, and people actually might want to know this question. The first thing that comes to mind is just time. Being time effective with everything. I mean, if you are a guy that doesn't feel like you have a lot going on, but you're, you know, wasting time playing video games and just like sitting on your phone the whole day, maybe spend that time trying to be better at a skill or trying to learn more about something or, you know, expand your horizons on something. I think that you and I both connect on this. We both have a wife. You have multiple kids. I have one. We have to juggle a full-time job. We have to juggle some coaching. We have to juggle the fantasy community. So I think being super time efficient and being effective with your time for me, and I know for you, is important, and making sure that we prioritize what's important in our life sometimes. And that's a big thing, I think. So being time effective is massive, and finding the best way to utilize your time, because at the end of the day, like, life is kind of short. And if you are wasting time, you're wasting time. So that's mine. What about yours?
No, I think I agree. Mine's on the same kind of line, but it's like, find a passion, especially if you're younger, like of something that you really want to do. Like for me, you know, my passion was teaching, and it still is teaching. Like the impact I can have on kids every day matters to me. And that's always going to matter to me. So like when I wake up and I go to work, you know, as much as I can complain sometimes about it, like every day is new for me. Like I get to impact kids in different ways, and I get to make, and coaching too has always done that for me. So like I found a passion that I love to go to. And then also understand that you're never too old for other passions. Like I never would have probably got into this last year if it wasn't for COVID, and I would never have been this. And now I write for Fantasy Pros. I have two podcasts and we're doing other things. And so like, don't give up on dreams, I guess. I know that's cliche, but also like, don't give up on passion. If you're passionate about something, try to find an avenue for it. And just go for it. And you know, what's the worst thing anybody can say? I've been told no plenty of times in this space in the last year. I've been told no plenty of times. Like I'm not in group chats. I don't kiss people's ass. I just don't do it, but I just keep grinding and put my head down and just work. And if you find passion, and if you're comfortable with your own abilities and who you are, you'll be fine moving forward. So just find that passion and just go for it.
100%. And too many people give up on stuff all the time when, you know, if they just stuck with it, they would have went farther than they probably would have imagined. I think you and I can kind of relate to that just in this space. I think we just kind of came in hobby. I want to like write. I want people to read my stuff. And we're both way farther ahead than we were a year ago. So yeah. I want to make sure that was a great piece of advice, but I do want to make sure you get on to your next show. Definitely check out the Triple Play podcast. If you're watching this live or a little bit after the show ended, they have an awesome basketball show tonight. We have the draft. Kevin, can you just remind everybody where to find you and anything else you want to plug before we close things out?
Yeah, you just find me on Twitter @DuBois_22. Any basketball, Debbie, football, anything like that. And then if you're listening right now or watching right now, we're going to do a live stream, 4 hours, highlights, graphics, hot takes. They're all coming. You know, shout out to my wife because it is our anniversary, but I'm taking her for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday somewhere. So I got a little equity. So I'm okay there. But you can find me there. Follow me on the YouTube channel as well, Triple Play Fantasy.
And as always, if you're following me, you're not following this guy, do yourself a favor and some justice and be sure to do so. One of my favorite people, if not my favorite person in the space. Kevin, appreciate your time, brother. Happy early anniversary and good luck tonight on that show, man.
Thanks, man.